Joseph Esposito, who retired last month, was in the NYPD for 40 years and police chief for over a decade. He's credited with reducing crime and introducing new policing strategies. He's been in command during the entire Bloomberg administration, reporting directly to Police Commissioner Ray Kelly. When he took the stand today, he said that if an officer could establish reasonable doubt, then there is no racial profiling. This despite the fact that most people stopped are Black and Latino. In other words, if boxes are checked off on 250 forms, which officers fill out after stops are made, then the officer had reasonable doubt, according to Chief Esposito, and the stop is justified. This is despite the fact that there are no safeguards to ensure boxes are checked accurately and reflect the circumstances. Darius Charney is with the Center for Constitutional Rights.
That goes to the heart of the problem. The form itself is not designed in a way that you can determine if a stop was based on reasonable suspicion. Despite what Chief Esposito says, if an officer checks off three boxes and that's the only thing that a supervisor reviews, how do we know if A, the officer made it up or not? B, you know, when they check off things like furtive movements or suspicious bulge, we don't know what in fact they observed. And without knowing the details of what an officer observed, you can't determine if that stop was based on reasonable suspicion. And therefore, you can't determine if they used race inappropriately. So, again, I think what Chief Esposito is making clear is that the current system of oversight that the police department has for stop and frisk activity is woefully inadequate.
While Chief Esposito testified unjustified stops do harm in a number of ways, he said repeatedly that he relies on supervisors to ensure that stops are constitutional.
In reality, that's just not happening. We've heard testimony from sergeants and lieutenants throughout this trial who have said, look, all we do is look at the form. We don't talk to our officers about why they stop people. We don't talk to our officers about what the stop and frisk policies and procedures are. And if they're not doing it, if they're not minding the store, that means nobody's minding the store, and this house of cards is just going to fall down.
Looking at the 250 forms and memo books is not a meaningful way for supervisors to determine if stops are legal, according to Jonathan Moore, counsel with the Center for Constitutional Rights.
A meaningful review is sitting down with the officer, with his memo book, if he fills it out correctly, with the UF-250 form, and on a, you know, as-needed basis, looking at whether they're, in fact, reasonable suspicion. They're not doing that. A meaningful review would be having officers checking their conduct without the officers knowing it. That's a meaningful review. They do that in other areas of police work. Why can't they do it when it comes to the constitutional rights of people to be free from Fourth and Fourteenth Amendment intrusions? It's shameful that they refuse to admit that there's a problem.
Moore says Chief Esposito, as the chief policymaker for the NYPD until a few weeks ago, should have known what was going on in the NYPD.
He was, after all, the chief of the department from 2000 until just a few weeks ago. If anybody should know about what they're doing and how they're doing it, it's he. And I think, as you saw in his testimony, he has very little idea, really, what's going on the street. He hopes it's the right thing, and I believe that he's well-intended in that respect, but it's there's no evidence that it's being done, and he has no way to know that it's being done in conformity with the Constitution because they don't look at it. Because if they started looking at it, you see the numbers drop, and you see better cooperation between the community and the police because they would see that the practice has stopped.
15-year-old Joshua Rolon was in the courtroom watching the proceedings. He was critical of the police chief.
The police chief, he didn't really know, like, because they kept questioning him about the statistics, and he didn't seem to know a lot about it or what was going on in under him, because if he was the highest, that means that most of them were under him, and he didn't seem to know about the activity going on under him when he was being questioned, which I thought, I don't know, I think if you're top dog, you should know what's going on.
Rolon attended the court proceedings with classmates from East Flatbush Arts and Media Prep. The students began studying stop and frisk as a math project, looking at ratios and proportions. Athena Leonardo is their teacher.
I took the stop and frisk statistics as a way to analyze proportionality, and it just turned into a much bigger issue. since it is an issue that directly affects our school's community. And so we just took it a step further, and after analyzing the statistics, we created campaigns to educate the community. We had some people from the Center for Constitutional Rights come in and be guest speakers and do some activities with our students. And this was kind of the next step to actually get involved in the actual trial.
Did you look at statistics which indicate that about 90% of the stops do not result in any type of arrest?
Absolutely, yeah. And we also looked at the disproportionate nature between the percentage of the community that is made up of blacks, Hispanics, as compared to the number of stops and frisks by race.
And how have your students related to this?
We started out the project by having a discussion, and most of them, if they haven't been stopped themselves or frisked themselves, they've been witnesses to it. They've had a friend or a relative be stopped and frisked.
Jaquan Williams was stopped in his friend's building.
And the policeman came through the door on his floor, and when they came through, they asked me my name, where was I, and why am I in the building. And I told them, I stated that I was waiting for my friend to come out of his house. And then he left. And then when they came back like 5 minutes later. And when I was still standing there, they stopped me. And then they told me that they was going to frisk me. So they told me to put my hands up, da 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 da. And then that's when they started patting my pockets.
From the class Williams is taking, he says he knows now he can refuse to be frisked. That dealing with the NYPD stops is now part of the curriculum, maybe a surprise to some. But it's a matter of survival in the neighborhood where Kamani Gray was shot and killed by police. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.